3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Exfabula!
True personal story.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And it's Exfabula Radio on Lake Effect Weekend. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rachel Owens, joined by Exfabula co-founder Leah Delaney.
Otherwise known as Kathleen Turner with this head cold. Yes, hi.
The younger Kathleen Turner. Yeah. You're not at that really deep baritone she has going on now, though.
Here, let me have a couple cigarettes really quick. Before we jump into the stories today and talk about the theme, we had an event last Wednesday at the Sugar Maple. The theme of the show was karma. And let me tell you, we sold out as predicted. It was a great show. And want to thank everybody who came out and was daring enough to get up on stage and grab that microphone. It was a fabulous night. Yeah, we have another event to show up to in March, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But I figure let's kind of roll into today's show.
Today is focused around the theme of children because it is Child Life Month.
It certainly is. Child Life Month is centered around a child life specialist who is a certified professional that uses developmental and educational and therapeutic interventions to help children cope with illness, hospitalization to both themselves or the adults that they love. So an intense shout out to some really great caregivers out there. And today we brought a couple of stories from one of the story slams, actually, that we just had in February when the theme was first time. Let's just jump right in with Lauren Smith's story. Here's Lauren.
This is the story of the first time I lied to my daughter. When my wonderful daughter was born, I had a lot of ideas about how I was going to raise her, right? No sugar, no TV, no Barbie dolls, and no lying. But we all know that the Barbie dolls and the sugar just come in on their own, right? We don't even bring them in ourselves, they just appear. And that every working parent needs a television. So, first three principles out the window. But I could at least still be honest, I thought. So one day I'm walking down the sidewalk with my daughter, we're heading home after school. She's 3 and a half and it's Halloween, right? So there's fake gravestones everywhere and fake grave dirt and fake legs sticking up out of the fake grave dirt. And she looked up at me and she said, I'm exhausted, right? I've been working all day long and up at 6 and all that. She looks up at me and says, Mom, are you gonna die? And I said, I was completely unprepared. I said, well, yes, but not for a really long time. And she just burst into tears, a big round mouth. No, no, Mom, I don't want you to die. And she's weeping and wailing, and I'm just stunned because I actually thought I had answered that question pretty well. So then she pauses and she looks up at me again and she says, Mom, am I gonna die? And I'm stuck in that honesty gear, right? And I can't get it out. So I'm like, yes, but not for a very, very, very long time, honey. And she's just beside herself, right? She's just screaming and wailing, and it's miserable. And I look down at that sweet little miserable face, and I think, you know, miserable face, my principles, and I think, what am I going to do, right? And I pause and I say, I was just kidding. And she goes, really? And I said, yes, yes, I was just kidding. You're not gonna die, I'm not gonna die, nobody's gonna die. So she, like, you know, she just wipes her face off and off we go, we walk home and I'm like, oh my God. I was just not prepared. But you know, she started to ask me a bunch of questions after that I didn't at first connect with that conversation. And they were mostly math questions. You know, while I'm cutting the onions, getting ready for dinner, she's asking me, how old are you gonna be when I'm 10? How old are you gonna be when I'm 15? How old is dad gonna be when I'm 35? How old's grandma gonna be? How old's grandpa gonna be? et cetera, right? And I'm just chopping and doing math and chopping, trying not to cut off my fingers. You know, I'm making left turns and doing math and trying not to get into an accident and kill everybody and, you know, trying to finish my report and doing math while she's asking me these questions, and she's asking and she's asking. And then finally, one night, after we had read our book that evening, we're just lying in bed chatting, and she says, "Mom, how old will you be when I'm 85? I say, 120. And she pauses and she says, "I'm gonna miss you." So she figured it out on her own. And it was useful for me too. I figured something out too, right? I guess something like, oh, I don't know, the relative, I don't want to say uselessness of our principles compared to the real lives we live, but, you know, something like that. But I did use that later because my mom is at the other end of her life right now, and recently I went down to see her, and I walked in, and, you know, she's got a lot of different problems, and they're trying to get her medicine right, and she's, you know, she's in a nursing home, so it's sad, but we try to be there for her, and she's her medicine wasn't quite right, and something else was going wrong, and she was hallucinating, right? She was seeing all these animals running around in her room. And my sister sitting beside her saying, trying to be reasonable, right, and saying, "No, we need to adjust your medicine. The animals aren't real. You're not really seeing any animals. It's, you know, Mom, calm down. We're going to get your medicine adjusted." And so on. I said, "Becky, you just lie. Just lie." And we got a shoe. Each of us took a shoe, and we went around the room. At, you know, we're in our 50s. We're killing all the animals, and we're saying, "Mom, we got them all. We got them all. Everything's going to be fine." So.
And that was Lauren Smith telling us her unharmful little white lies.
Sometimes it helps to just roll with it, do the improv technique of saying yes and.
Yeah, and there was that really fantastic This American Life that we were just chatting about that had everything to do with that.
Yeah they were dealing with a mother of a married couple who had Alzheimer's, and instead of telling her she was wrong 50 times a day, they would just say yes and go with her and play along. And what a revelation that was to me as far as how you can treat people who are dealing with unusual circumstances.
So, yeah,
quite heartwarming.
Lovely, absolutely lovely. I did mention a couple minutes ago that we do have two story slams in the month of March. Fantastic. So the next one's going to happen on March 22nd at Garfield's 502. They have amazing food and plenty of beverages to choose from to get you all lubed up to tell your story. The theme of that night is TMI. So we're already laughing. We know it's going to be a really good night of good stories.
As in too much information.
Yeah. I have so many stories that I can't tell on the air right now, as we all do. But we're hoping that people will show up to that. So let's just kind of like roll right into the next and final story of Exfabula Radio. This one is from Mark Daniloff. And I do want to give a heads up to our listenership here that this story is pretty raw and intense. So that's just a little warning. So here's Mark's story.
The first time I faced the prospect of my daughter dying, I realized Copernicus was wrong. When it comes to your child's health, the world revolves around them. First time I heard the words blood cancer, 20% chance of survival, and the really long one, hemophagocytic lymphohistiocytosis. Come on, say it with me! Forget it, HLH. It was at Children's Hospital. Sorry, I wear it on my sleeve and on my chest, but it was a complete surprise. Out of the blue, this dancer who had competed in the state dance championships just a few days before was in the ER of Children's, near septic, in shock, and suffering from a very rare one in 1.2 million blood cancer. But we didn't know that yet. It was at least 11 days before that came. And the first time they walked in the room and said, "We figured out what it is," I thought, great. And then I heard what it was, and I thought, crap. She went through her first round of chemo that day, lost a lot of her hair, She had a good support group, though. They said, at least you don't have a goofy-shaped head. That's what friends do when you're in high school and you're a 15-year-old told you may not get out of this alive. But children's doing what they do with the miracles that they do. I also remember the first time that 2 months later, 2 months in the hospital, in the hematology, oncology, and transplant unit, hoping for a bone marrow match out there. They came up with the right set of drugs that all of a sudden turned her very low blood counts into numbers that, after 4 days, had grown tenfold. And Dr. Casper walks in and says, get out of here, kid. We need that bed for sick people. It was cool. And I remember that she hadn't been able to eat solid food for a long time. She looked up on the shelf and saw a bag of chocolates that one of her friends had brought way back on Valentine's Day. And she said, go get the bag, Dad. And I did. And the first one she grabbed was a little Dove chocolate. And their little wrappers have sayings in them. She unwrapped it, ate it, and she looked at the things, just kind of handed it off to me, trembling a little bit. And it said, you are exactly where you are supposed to be. And I thought, yeah. She went home, she recovered over a long period of time at home, and then went back to school, was able to complete her high school. And that senior year, when we were sitting for the first time in front of her counselor, she said, well, Audra, have you thought about a major? And I'm thinking, hadn't heard word about this, so this ought to be interesting. And she said, yeah, actually, I've decided I want to become a child life major, working with kids going through medical crises. And Edgewood College in Madison has one of the best programs in the country, so that's what I'm going to do. And I thought, holy crap. For the first time, things happened for a reason. And I saw for the first time that 15-year-old scared dancer turn into a young woman with a purpose. Thank you.
And that was Mark Daniloff's story that he told at our first time Story Slam. You know, Rachel, it never ceases to amaze me. The amount of strength and fortitude that people have to just get up on stage and just bare their souls in some really intense and poignant subjects is just so wonderful. And it really is the true meaning to what we do with Exfabula.
And it's contagious as well. It seems that when you're able to share your courage and your strength, mm-hmm. you're able to give that to another person to give them the courage to get up and tell their story. And then more and more people feel like they're not alone in what they're dealing with.
Truly, truly. So we want to thank Mark and everybody else who comes up on stage to tell their stories. It's so much appreciated by all of us and Milwaukee as well. Just to recap really quickly, we do have one more Story Slam in March. The theme is TMI. It's going to be at Garfield's 502. We're rearing up for our May All-Stars event, so we only have a couple more slots open. March and April.
Sounds like the TMI event will follow nicely after St. Paddy's Day weekend as well.
Yes, it will. So many stories to be gathered on St. Paddy's Day.
All right. Well, thanks again for sharing the stories and for coming in, Leah.
Oh, thank you.
All right. We'll catch up again next week.
Great.